On this third day of the octave of Christmas, the Church celebrates from time immemorial the feast of that disciple about whom both the reading from Ecclesiasticus as a prophecy and the gospel, his own gospel, speak, St. John the Evangelist, the beloved disciple, the one who was with him all through and even after. He is the one who leaned his head on the chest of Jesus during the Last Supper. He was very well known to be the favorite disciple of our Lord. Ultimately speaking, he was a cousin, whether second or third, of our Lord, and the brother of St. James the Greater, the one who evangelized in Spain, who was the first to receive a vision, an apparition from Our Lady at Zaragoza, Our Lady of the Pillar, and also the first to die for Christ. They had very distinct and wonderful privileges that our Lord gave to them, which they had asked for through their mother, who asked our Lord to make them very high up in the kingdom. She too did not understand what kind of kingdom he was founding. And so he turned to them and he said, "Can you drink the chalice that I shall drink?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." And he says, "So shall you do." And so St. James was the first. Now St. John, after Calvary and the Ascension, first of all, he did as he was told. He took the Blessed Mother unto his own house and took care of her till her time came to join her Son in heaven. And then he began to write the epistles and the gospel, eventually ending with the last book of the Bible, the book of the Apocalypse, which he wrote in exile. In the meantime, he had to suffer persecution right and left. As we celebrate during the year, he was, as a very old man, about 90 already, boiled in a cauldron of oil, which would have been very, very painful. Perhaps St. John the Evangelist should be made the patron saint of deep-fried food. But anyway, he was not deep-fried. The old man, his wrinkles disappeared. He did not die. They pulled him out, and they were all amazed. And that took place at the Latin Gate in Rome. And then he was exiled and eventually wrote the book of the Apocalypse and died. St. John gives us an example of true apostleship, of true discipleship, of true friendship. And of course, in this day and age, many people do not understand that, and they try to besmirch anything that is of love and that looks of love into something that is not of love. They would have tried to do that to St. John too. And in fact, in the last 50 years, there was a book written about St. John and our Lord. Imagine that. Such a sacrilege and evil. And I got a picture yesterday from talking about evil. In Italy, in some place, I don't know where, I don't care, they had a nativity scene of the Blessed Mother and Jesus and another woman. Sacrilege is everywhere. And so we need the help of St. John, the beloved disciple, to help us to straighten out our acts, to pray for Holy Mother of the Church in these horrible times in which we live, to grant us once again to have the true faith, the true religion, the true liturgy everywhere in the world. And so today I commend that to St. John. In addition, I, on the one hand, remember my best friend who is now gone, who is in heaven, and this has been manifested to me and others, to pray for us. But I also pray for those two disciples of mine who are my best friends now in this present age. Brother Aaron, who is here, and Brother Jake, who is not. And so we pray that they may indeed eventually become holy priests that they will follow Christ and his truth and not the fashions of the age in which we now live. And so we ask through the intercession of St. John to bless these young men and also the other 18 vocations that we have from this parish, which amazes most people, including our bishop. May God grant them to be true disciples of Christ, so much so that they can lean their head upon his heart as they celebrate the most holy sacrifice of the Eucharist. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.